This is the Briznet.com call-in show on the Horse Racing Radio Network. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776. Now, here's Bobby Newman and Ed DeRosa.
Good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of the Briznet.com call-in show here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Bobby Newman, soon to be joined by Action Ed DeRosa. Phone lines to call in, 888-966-4776. That's 888-966-HRRN. The Breeders' Cup pre-entries are out. If you don't have them already, they are available on whatever website you use for past performances, whether it is here at Briznet or one of the several other locations. The PPs are out, the pre-entries, I should say, not the PPs. Post positions will be drawn on Monday, but the pre-entries are out, and you can see all of the horses who are at least thinking about running in these Breeders' Cup races. Let's get right out to the phones. Aaron in Indianapolis, welcome to the Briznet.com call-in show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hey, Aaron, how are you?
Real quick, I'm good. I was listening to your conversation there on the prior show about the European turf runners and so forth, and one of the things I've always struggled with is trying to find speed figures for them that I can rely upon and translate to Fire figures and Briznet figures. So I'm curious, you know, I see the time form Europe figures, and I'm wondering how you translate those to a buyer figure or a Briznet figure, or if that's even easy to do at all, because I really struggle with trying to assess their figures and how they translate. I mean, I can look at replays and see how I think the race is going to shape and so forth, but that's the missing piece of the puzzle for me, and I'm curious your thoughts on that.
Well, I appreciate your call, Aaron, and that's one of the toughest things that those of us here in America have been trying to figure out for years when trying to handicap these foreign runners, is trying to figure out exactly how good they are. And the short answer is, I don't know. I know that a lot of people rely on the time form ratings, and obviously the higher the number, the better. And when you're looking at this caliber of competition, it's usually horses that are running, you know, in the mid 100 teens to 120 somethings that are obviously the real high ranked ones from Europe. There are people who use a product called the Ragazin sheets, which are the initial sheet speed figures. There's been some takeoffs that have been popular since then, but Ragazin is the originator of the sheets. They put together approximate numbers, I believe, for the Euro runners, but it's not a guaranteed thing. And I hate to say it, because it's making it sound like I'm forcing you to do more work than you should, but the replays are so readily available now to all of us who are handicapping. You know, way back when, and I used this reference many, many times, back in 1986, the third running of the Breeders' Cup, which was when out at Santa Anita, there was a highfalutin turfer from Europe named Dancing Brave. And this was before there was internet, before we had the ability to watch these races anywhere. And those of us who were fans in America, all we knew about Dancing Brave is that he was supposed to be really good. And the folks in Europe were touting him as, you know, a great horse. But that's it. We didn't know, you know, it's not like we got to see these races on TV. We, you know, all we have is the PPs with some sort of a time form rating, but we didn't really know. Well, Dancing Brave came over to Santa Anita, and he was sent off a gigantic favorite, although nobody in the U.S. really knew much about him other than the word was out on him, and he lost. And he lost to Manila, and I think Estrapod finished in front of him too, maybe Strawberry Road. I'm not sure, but he didn't win the race. Now, you know, we have the ability to see all of these replays, and you can see, you know, for yourself what kind of runners these horses are in these Group 1, Group 2, Group 3 events from all around the world. That I think it's a mistake to leave it up to somebody else's just number as to whether or not you like or dislike a horse. And the other example is Order of Australia from last year, horse that was not even in the main body of the field for the Breeders' Cup Mile, drew in with a scratch, got the outside post with a jockey that nobody in the States had ever heard of, was sent off some ridiculous price, and beat them all. So, you know, that's a horse, speed figure-wise, who probably had no chance of winning. But maybe if you watch the replays, you think the horse does have a chance. And with his, you know, with his connections, and welcome my good friend Ed DeRosa onto the call. You know, Aaron was wondering how to compare European, you know, how to gauge European speed figures the way we do American speed figures, you know, whether it's using time form. And I told him there was really no short answer for it. It's, you know, it's still a little bit of a mystery figuring out who's the best, you know, and who you want to use of these European shippers.
Yeah, the challenge is, I mean, they, to use the cliche, just do things differently over there. Even they're not even speed figures over there. They're form figures, whether it's time form or racing post does numbers. And, you know, it's kind of like someone's opinion, like they're literally handicapping these horses in the traditional sense of the word, assigning them a mythical weight, similar to our experimental free. So, you know, there are some tools when it comes to using those that, you know, we don't really have here in the States. It's all about relativity to me, very similar to prime power. You know, if you have a bunch of horses and they're all getting 136 time form numbers or 137 and 135, then I wouldn't want a short price among those horses. They're clearly very competitive, and why not take a shot? If they're good enough to be, you know, placed in the arc, then that might be good enough to take 15-1 here versus a short price on a horse who's coming out of a win or is from a sexy barn or that type of thing. But occasionally you'll see situations where, like with an Enable, where, you know, they're running 140 and the rest are in the mid 130s, and that horse is clearly superior. And then it's just a matter of how short a price you're willing to take. So I always preach it's relative, like the numbers, whether you use them on a daily basis or not, they're going to get you in the ballpark. You can look at a set of numbers for one race and know the competitiveness of the field. That's the strength of prime power, and I think that's the strength of how they do things over in Europe.
Good answer there. Let's head back out to the phones. George in Naples, welcome to the BristNet.com call-in show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Great show, as always. You know, a little over a week out from the Breeders' Cup, I had a couple Breeders' Cup thoughts myself. I've been to 9, and my best one in person was Woodbine. It was 70 degrees the last weekend of October. Obviously, that had a lot to do with it, but with that turf course and with that facility, I'm kind of shocked that they're out of the multi-track rotation now, but what a sight for a Breeders' Cup, especially an international event. And it was just amazing, just absolutely amazing. With all that being said, and I've been to Del Mar, I'm staying home in Naples. I'm going down to Publix and getting my racing form, and I've got my refrigerator and my big screen and my phone, and I'm looking forward to staying home this year, just with all the things that's going on. And if you take the pragmatic view, if I would take my girlfriend and myself to Del Mar from Naples, I'm down $3,000 before I make my first bet. Now I'm up $3,000 going to the first bet. Now it's nothing like being there. I get it. But in this year, I think I'm doing the right thing. Real quick, I'll touch on the three races that I wanted to touch on in the sprint. And I said this to Ed last week when he was flying solo. In the sprint, if Jackie Warrior with a clean trip loses, the chances of me making money for the day are probably diminished. The race I look forward to the most, and a lot of people say that for the races leading up to the Breeders' Cup, is the Distaff. Only because I told Ed last week, Malathot would be a free square without Latruska, and Latruska would be a free square without Malathot. And the value is, on a normal day, that's a $5 exacta, but Breeders' Cup, you might get 9 or 10. You'd be surprised with She Dares the Devil as the puncher's chance. That exactly might pay better than you think. And the last thing I have real quick is, and I've been following horse racing since I was 15, 62. And if Medina Spirit wires the classic, I'll walk away. Thanks, guys. I love your show.
Appreciate your call, George. Okay, a lot there.
Mic drop.
A lot there. And, you know, interesting opinions. First of all, regarding Woodbine, the reason that they won't go back to Woodbine is simple. Money. The handle on the Woodbine Breeders' Cup was far less than it was on American-based Breeders' Cups, and that's why they have not been back there, and they probably won't go back there. Now, you know who ran in the Woodbine during Woodbine Breeders' Cup? You know, a horse that we, you know, everyone was talking about, but nobody, you know, we haven't thought about in a long time?
Skip Away?
How about Rick's Natural Star?
Oh, that's right.
Rick's Natural Star was the horse from New Mexico, I believe, that, you know, had no business being in the Breeders' Cup, but they didn't have a full field for the Breeders' Cup turf that year, and they didn't have any rules in place that could disqualify his entry. So they entered, and he ran, and he actually made the lead in the race and then, you know, faded into oblivion. And this is a horse that, you know, it wasn't like a good New Mexico horse that was trying, you know, just trying to take a shot. It was a horse that really wasn't very good in New Mexico and ran in the race. If you have a chance, go and look on Equibase and pull up the lifetime PPs for Rick's Natural Star, and you will get a smile on your face when you see the horse that ran in the Breeders' Cup turf back at Woodbine late in the late 90s. Regarding Georgia's selections. What's that?
He took money.
Yeah, well, you know what? The WC Field said there's a sucker born every minute. So, you know.
I mean, he should have been 10,000 to 1. He was 55 to 1. That's incredible to me, Bobby, when we talk about, you know, oh, racing. Like, the fact that there was that kind of money bet on that horse, it blows me away. It boggles my mind.
I am not going to agree or disagree with any of George's selections in the races. I haven't really gotten down to the bones of my handicapping yet. I will say this. I visit Naples frequently. I play a lot of golf over in Naples, and I was recently at the Bonita Springs Poker and Simulcast facility, which used to be where the Naples Fort Myers Greyhound track was, but there's no more Greyhound racing in Florida. So The track is no more. They've built a brand new building where they have a poker room, big poker room, a nice simulcast area, and an actual nice like bar and grill type place with all sorts of TVs and betting machines. It's a good, if you're ever in Southwest Florida, that's a good spot to go watch the race.
Yeah,
I know that George is going to be at home, but that's not a bad spot. They'll probably be jammed on Breeders' Cup days, but the Bonita Springs poker room and simulcast area is phenomenal and a fun place to go to. Let's go back out to the phones one last time before our first break. Bob in Connecticut, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. It's actually Paul, and I call occasionally. I want to comment on this European runner racing rating. I do it much differently now than I did 2 years ago. I got some coaching on it. I do watch a lot of replays, and I don't bet a lot of European races. I think that's critical. And there's something called the Racing Post, and it's pretty easy to use to load in the horse's name and kind of get a rating that they have. And I read a little bit about it. But the reason I think it's useful is because when especially you get more than one or two new entrants in a U.S. race, going against Chad Brown's two or three in the same race. And you look at the board, I've seen the reverse of what logic would dictate off those Racing Post ratings. And I think if you combine the review of the video with that rating, you would make better decisions. I just leave it at that. I wanted your comment on that. And then one other point or question.
Well, what's the other question, Paul?
In regard to the Breeders' Cup, I want to confirm this, that the betting for Superfectus is going to be locked in at a buck. or is the Dime Super going to be available?
Well, I can, and first of all, thanks for your call, Paul, and I apologize for the beginning of the call. First things first, do you have any comment about what he was saying about how he's basically using opposite of what the Racing Post says when it comes to the Euros coming to this country?
I mean, when you put it like that, that's a little extreme for me, but I would say it somewhat speaks to my point that if you think this is a competitive group of Euros, meaning competitive against each other, no real standout, like let's say in an Enable, you know, that's the type of year where you can go in a Red Rocks direction or a Dangerous Midge and say, well, heck, instead of taking 5-2 on the Euro they're all betting that Racing Post says is only slightly better than the rest, I can take 8-1 on one who's at least been competitive. And it feels like that type of year to me. Other than Tarnawa, maybe the Japanese filly and the filly in Mare Turf, but you know, this feels like a year where if you see 20 or 30-1 on the board on connections you trust or a Euro that ran well at some point this year, it's going to be hard for me to pass up.
Paul, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I am going to answer your question about those superfecta minimums as part of our Blood Horse News update. You're listening to the BrisNet.com call-in show here on HRRN.
This is the BrisNet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
It's time to prepare for this year's Breeders' Cup, and no website has better study materials than BrisNet.com. Want to get everything you need to handicap the Breeders' Cup World Championships for one low price? Then check out BrisNet's Ultimate Breeders' Cup Handicapping Package at BrisNet.com/plans. For only $25, get all of your favorites for both days, including Ultimate PPs, Picks, and Kelly Riley's International Scouting Report. New this year and included with the package are historical past performances and charts from every Breeders' Cup race since 2011. That's $82 worth of handicapping products, all for just $25. Plus, get 20% off all other Breeders' Cup handicapping reports when you purchase the package. Visit BrisNet.com/plans now and get your Ultimate Breeders' Cup Handicapping Package.
Bold and raised on trainer Buff Bradley and his father Fred's Indian Ridge Farm in Frankfort, Kentucky, Groupie Doll was the defending champion in the 2013 Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint at Santa Anita. She made just 3 starts before her title defense, winning only one. But the chestnut daughter of Bowman's Band had her game face on, facing 11 rivals as the 3-1 favorite.
And they're into the stretch, and it's Groupie Doll. And she's made the lead as they come to the eighth pole. Competition coming from Judy the Beauty. And on the outside dance card, Groupie Doll's in front, down to the 16th pole. Judy the Beauty, dance card on the outside, running after her. Groupie Doll digs in for all she has, and she has a left to win it. Groupie Doll did it again.
4 days after her historic victory, Groupie Doll was sold at the Keeneland November sale for $3.1 million. And at the end of the year, she was voted champion female sprinter of 2013. Groupie Doll charging down the stretch to win back-to-back filly and mare sprints is a most memorable moment in Breeders' Cup history.
The Breeders' Cup runs here. HRRN is your home for over 25 hours of coverage during Breeders' Cup Week, leading up to our exclusive broadcast of the Breeders' Cup World Championships. Don't miss our countdown shows, Race Day Radio, special Breeders' Cup editions of Trainer Talk, the Weekend Stakes Preview Show, and much more. Visit our website at horseracingradio.net for a complete schedule of exclusive Breeders' Cup programming, only on HRRN.
Okay, this is Carl Nasker, and I listen to HRRN.
This is the BrisNet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back back to the BriskNet.com call-in show here on HRRN. Bobby Newman and Action Ed DeRosa live until 7 p.m. Eastern time. Before we get back out to the phones, it's time now for the Blood Horse News Update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. This one's for you, Paul. Breeders' Cup announces 2021 race order and wagering menu. There'll be a total of 10 races on the first day of the championships, 12 races on the Saturday program, and I'm jumping around here in the column. The Friday program begins 11:55 a.m. Pacific time. Championship Saturday's first post is 10:15 a.m. out on the West Coast. This year, let's see. The 2021 wagering menu will include an all-turf pick four on Saturday. Four races in order are the Turf Sprint, race five, the Filly and Mare Turf, race seven, the Mile, race nine, and the Breeders' Cup Turf, race 11. Also for the first time, the Breeders' Cup will offer a third middle pick five on Saturday, starting with race three, and that means if you're looking to single Gamin in a pick five wager, you have two options to do it, both the early and now middle pick five on the Saturday card, or maybe you're looking to play against Gamin in both of those early and middle pick fives. The pick six, early and late pick five, and super high five on Friday may carry over into Saturday. Saturday's ultra pick six, late pick five, and super high five are mandatory payouts. There's a lot more to this column, but Paul, this is what you were asking about. The bet minimums, $1 on win, play, show, double, exacta, pick six, and special daily double. 50 cents on trifectas, pick three, pick four, pick five, and super high five, and 10-cent minimums on superfectas. That wraps up this afternoon's edition of the Blood Horse News Update. Follow all of the Breeders' Cup news and stories, plus race entries, results, race replays, sales coverage, industry news, and more with Blood Horse Daily, awarded as the best equine-related publication by the American Horse Publications for the second year in a row. Have this newsletter delivered to your email each evening, and it's free. Sign up and view today's Blood Horse Daily at bloodhorse.com/daily. Certainly a plethora of opportunities, whether you're a horizontal player, a vertical player, and somebody who wants to invest a lot or invest a little. Breeders' Cup offering all sorts of action both Friday and Saturday next week. Let's head back out to the phone lines. Joe in Pittsburgh, welcome to the BriskNet.com call-in show.
Thanks, guys. Had a question about Baffert and the increased scrutiny around him in the Breeders' Cup. Heard an interview with Mark Cassie a little while back, and he talked about, you know, when a barn goes on a hot streak, yes, it's attributed to kind of placement of the horses and conditioning, but part of it, too, is kind of the mood around the barn. Things start to go well. Horses are intuitive animals. They get looser. They do well. Do you think with this increased scrutiny on Baffert, whether it's because, you know, there are extra vets that are in checking on his horses, whether extra blood draws or just everybody's kind of tightened up knowing that the eyes are on them, that it could impact the performance of his horses over the weekend?
Well, first of all, Joe, thanks for your call. Ed, I'll go first on this. I would say that it can only go two ways. It won't affect anything or it will make things worse. It's certainly not going to help his horses. And, you know, I read the article and what they're doing as far as, you know, people there round the clock, basically overseeing these runners and having body cams. I mean, anything that takes a horse, I would think, out of normalcy and takes the barn out of normalcy is at least a little bit of a deterrent and a little worrisome.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, somewhat of a similar take to, you know, when we get inside the final weeks into the Derby, and any sort of hiccup to me is a negative. Like, there's no positive with what we just walked today when normally that trainer would gallop a jog or whatever they would do. And similar to that is, yeah, there has to be some disruption to the normal flow of things. And, you know, you and I have both been around the track and stable areas, and we know that the people on top of their game, as you would assume Bob Baffert is most days, are fastidious and persnickety, and things are done a very specific way to the trainer's specifications. And, you know, this disrupts that. It has to in some way. Now, whether it's a blip and no discernible difference for a superstar like Amin, maybe. But if it's enough that it costs her a length in a very competitive race, you know, that could make all the difference in the world.
It certainly could. Now there are people out there who probably think that a length probably won't make a difference when it comes to Amin in the Breeders' Cup filly and mare. And that may be true, but you know, you never know. And unfortunately, Bob Baffert is in a position right now where he's not going to be interviewed, and these questions which people would like him to answer, he's not going to answer because, let's face it, he's got things on his mind. He's got other stuff. Whether he's instructed not to speak or he's just uncomfortable with speaking, he's not doing it right now, and he probably won't do it until there's a resolution to the whole Medina Spirit Kentucky Derby thing one way or another. The thing that if I could ask him a question about this, and I don't know what kind of answer we get, but if I could answer a question, I would want to know, you know, what negatives are there to having this extra scrutiny and these extra tests? You know, he's said all the right things when he was originally commenting about this, you know, this extra scrutiny and the watchdogs, if you want to look at it that way. And he just basically said, you know, we welcome everything, and you know, we want to be completely transparent. And you know, he said everything that you would think he would say, one way or the other. But it still seems odd. I've worked. It's been a long time, but I've worked for trainers and lived in the barn area, and you know, these are not normal things. So who knows, you know, if taking extra blood samples or having people that the horses are not used to around them most of the day will change their attitudes. This could be something that, you know, these horses are already going through this. So right. This is something that I don't want to toot our own horn too much, but this is kind of an advantage of Jude Feld and I being out at Del Mar all the beginning of next week and having these Breeders' Cup countdown shows presented by Hillandale.
That's
where
essential.
You know, not only are we getting great personalities on with us, but we can see the horses, you know, galloping on the racetrack. They obviously won't be working that close to those races, but we'll be able to see them. And you can't always tell when horses look good, how they're going to run, but every now and then you'll see one that doesn't look as good as you think he or she should look. And I keep going back to a few years ago with Bellafina when she was at Churchill Downs before the Kentucky Oaks. She at no point looked like a filly who was happy being at Churchill Downs. She was terrible in the mornings. She looked uncomfortable. She looked skittish. And she looked like, frankly, a filly that you wanted to bet against as the favorite in the Kentucky Oaks. And as it turned out, you pretty much wanted to bet against Bellafina any time she ran outside of California.
Right.
She for the most part, wasn't as good, and she didn't travel well. I'm not saying that that's going to, you know, Bob Baffert's horses are going to be running out of Baffert's barn. And so I wouldn't expect that, but you never know. You might see something in the mornings, and whether you're listening to us or watching some other, shows that show the horses in the mornings, every now and then you can pick up on something like this. I guess we just won't know until we actually find out on Breeders' Cup Friday and Saturday if there's any effect from this. And, you know, people will jump to conclusions. If Gamine doesn't run a good race, well, let's just say it this way. If Gamine gets beat because she's going to be a heavy favorite, or Medina Spirit runs up the track, or,
they'll,
you know,
say it's because he couldn't cheat.
Or Corniche and Pinehurst are Nowheresville at the end of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, they're going to say, well, look what happens when he's playing on the same field as everyone else. But the truth is, he's not playing on the field right now as everyone else, because no one else has to deal with that. And I'm not making excuses for him. I'm just saying that, you know, it's a very strange situation. I'd, I don't remember ever seeing anything like this.
No, especially, you know, it being one person specifically. I mean, in harness, we've, you know, gone through the detention barn phase and things like that. This is totally unique. Imagine if they asked you to dilate your eyes before you had to call a card.
Well, some cards, it felt like I did dilate my eyes before I called the card. Usually had something to do with bad handicapping that went along with it, but that happens from time to time. Yeah, exactly. By the way, the number to call in, once again, 888-966-4776. Phone lines are open, 888-966-4776. We'll take another break. Come back with more here on the Brisnet.com call-in show.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
It's time to prepare for this year's Breeders' Cup, and no website has better study materials than Brisnet.com. Want to get everything you need to handicap the Breeders' Cup World Championships for one low price? Then check out Brisnet's Ultimate Breeders' Cup Handicapping Package at Brisnet.com/plans. For only $25, get all of your favorites for both days, including Ultimate PPs, Picks, and Kelly Riley's International Scouting Report. New this year and included with the package are historical past performances and charts from every Breeders' Cup race since 2011. That's $82 worth of handicapping products, all for just $25. Plus, get 20% off all other Breeders' Cup handicapping reports when you purchase the package. Visit Brisnet.com/plans now and get your Ultimate Breeders' Cup Handicapping Package.
James Brown and Bill Cowher welcoming you back to Dennis Melvin's house. It's time for the Midnight Snack Run.
This is one tricky obstacle course. Sticking to healthy habits in this kitchen is going to take focus and determination, but it can be done, JB.
He's already entered the snack part of the course, and he's eyeballing a jar of chocolatey candy.
That is tempting right off the start.
Uh-oh, he's reaching, Bill, but he pushes it away.
Great stiff arm.
He's approaching a plate of delicious-looking iced cookies.
Oh, Dennis, you only want one of those?
He blows right by him for the apple.
Oh, the fridge. It's make or break time, JB.
He stares down some rich-looking treats. Uh-oh, looks like he's headed for the soda. Wait, he jukes left, grabs the water bottle, and shuts the door with his elbow in record time.
Unbelievable move. I gotta see that again.
And he's out. He even turned off the light.
That's the way you execute a midnight snack run.
Stand Up to Cancer and Rally want you to reduce your risk for cancer.
Go to takeahealthystand.org.
Hi, this is Kurt Becker. Join me each week on the Equine Forum as I take you on a stroll through racing history presented by Lane's End and Keeneland. This week, I take a look back at the racing career of the Witch. Listen live on the Equine Forum every Saturday morning on Sirius 219 or XM 201, or visit our website at horseracingradio.net to access the archives and enjoy past editions. It's a stroll through racing history with me, Kurt Becker, presented by Lane's End and Keeneland, only here on HRRN.
This is Jockey Orlando Bocachica, and you are listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back to the Brisnet.com call-in show. Bobby Newman and Ed DeRosa live until 7 p.m. this evening. Get back out to the phones, and our good friend Charles in Mississippi. Welcome back to the show, my friend.
Hey, Bobby.
Hey, Ed. Hey, Charles. How are you?
Hey, Charles.
Oh, man, I'm doing 1,000, baby. I'm doing 1,000. You know, it's 8 days out from the Breeders' Cup. I wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning with my throat is real dry. I got to get up and stare at those Bridnets PPs. And, you know, I just keep digging and digging and digging. I just can't wait.
Better your throat being dry than Larry Colmus or Trevor Denman on those Breeders' Cup days.
you're right, Bobby. But I'm like the guy from Naples, George. I think he said if they beat Jackie's Warrior, I don't know if I'll walk away, but I don't see anything beating.
Well,
I don't see anything
true.
Beating that Ward horse and that five, that Avery Jane. I mean, her figures are just off the charts.
Well, there are going to be several solidly bet runners in those 2 days, Charles. And you mentioned Averly Jane. Obviously, Golden Pal for Wesley Ward will be heavily bet in the turf sprint. Gamin will be a big favorite. Life is Good will be a big favorite in the dirt mile. You mentioned Jackie's Warrior in the sprint. There are going to be a lot of big favorites, but you know what? We've seen big favorites go down. And remember way back when, Charles, when Groovy was the talk of the town, and he couldn't win a Breeders' Cup race?
That's right. That's right. But I tell you, I like that Silver State in the dirt mile. I think you'll get a real square price on him. When you look at the Breeders' Cup Classic, what are they going to do with Hot Rod Charlie? I mean, I think that Baffert will put Medina Spirit dead on the lead. Dead on the lead.
I'm just 100% Brad's instructions to Joel on Nick's Go are get the lead.
Oh, I know. If you watch that Saudi Cup, I mean, that's exactly what he told him. Charlatan just ate his lunch, buddy.
Yeah, no.
Hey,
sure
just
did.
Go back and watch that replay, baby. And that was at a mile and an eighth. Now you're asking this horse, and when you look at the speed figures, you've got the Medina Spirit, you got Art Collector, and you got Hot Rod Charlie to deal with. And that Hot Rod Charlie looks like as tough as a nook steak yet. I mean, he looks tough. But I'm going to go with the Essential Quality, and I just like the way he's coming up the race. He's running those solid 59s in his work pattern, and, I've just got to play him, baby. But I'll have a long 8 days between now and then. I'll be like a guy that's trying to quit drinking and smoking at the same time, okay?
Charles, we really appreciate your call. And by the way, you know, you got to take baby steps when it comes to this. You know, instead of looking for 8 and 9 days from now, your next target should be this Monday, because that's when they draw the post positions for all of the Breeders' Cup races. And you can finally figure out, you know, if horses you like or dislike are drawn well or drawn unfavorably. And you know, speaking of that, Ed, and we certainly appreciate Charles.
Well, Bobby and Ed, I appreciate both of y'all too, buddy, okay?
Charles,
we'll
thanks very much. Thanks
Charles.
For your call. Charles from Mississippi, a regular here on the program. And, Charles has his convictions. George has his convictions as far as who they're strongly for or against in these races. You know, mentioned that the post-position draw is coming up on Monday, Ed. You know, are there horses out there? You know, this is not Belmont Park, where, you know, every race is around one turn for these dirt races, except for the mile and a quarter. You know, if you're drawn outside in some of these two-turn races, specifically the one-mile races on the turf or the juvenile and juvenile fillies on the dirt going a mile and a 16th, the outer posts are not necessarily where you want to be at Del Mar.
No, and I plan on running the numbers, which they'll be in the summary of the Brisnet PPs. But one thing I can do to go a step further is actually like limit it to races with similar field sizes, so you're not rolling in post stats for 6-horse fields against 12-horse fields, because, you know, dynamics are very different. But I would suspect that the turf sprint, the juvenile turf sprint, and I would expect those races to have significant post situations as well as the dirt mile is the other obvious one.
Once again, the number to call in, 888-966-4776. We'll head back out to the phones. Blaze in Louisville, welcome to the Brisnet.com call-in show.
Hey, how's it going, Bobby? What's up, Ed? Long time no see.
Hey, Blaze.
How are you?
Hey.
Hey, guys, just talking on Breeders' Cup and stuff and some memories or things about it. Coming from, like, a production standpoint, I used to work at a West Coast Bay station for them. How do you guys like watching the races? I know Breeders' Cup this year is going to have some new, I'll put in air quotes, innovating camera angles, whether it be drone cameras like we've seen recently with NBC Productions, as well as jockey cams, gate cams. How, Bobby, going with you first, how do you like watching a race? Old school, you know, pan view, like I grew up watching the 80s, 90s, or do you kind of like new technology?
Well, I like the old school view for the first live running of the race. I don't like a lot of camera angles. I think there are some tracks out there that use ridiculous angles. Like they'll plant a camera on the ground as the horses are coming onto the backstretch of a turf course, and you just see a bunch of like legs going by you. It's useless if you're actually trying to watch a race and chart a race or something like that. I want just the regular pan shot for the first try. And then if they want to show me the drone view or the helicopter view or the Jeep view or whatever afterwards, I'm all for it. I like those. But for the watching, in fact, I'm going to take it a step further, Blaze, and I'm probably in the minority with this. Not only do I like the plain Jane pan view for the live running of the race, in stake races, I like when they all have the same color saddle towels. I think it looks more majestic.
Oh, you know, Bobby.
And Santa Anita used to do that. Santa Anita used to do this. They would
the
have like
out of my back.
Black saddle cloths with gold trim. And I can see it right now. Lord at War, Kennedy Road, you know, Sylvieville, these horses that ran in California in the early 80s. And it just made the stake race seem like it was more important than the other races of the day. I know I am way in the minority when it comes to that, but I love that look for big stake races.
I can't be with you there. I totally agree on the pan shot. I just feel like, I mean, to me, it's the camera in center field behind the pitcher when watching an at-bat. Show me all the great bells analogy and whistles after we know what happened. Break down the pitch from the ump's point of view, from the third base coach, from a drone, whatever. But for live action, we figured it out. We know it works. It's the pan shot. You know, you just, your eyes are trained. And racing, the race is, you know, 2 minutes, a minute and a half, 70 seconds, whatever it is. Like, this isn't a situation where we need quick cuts. There's no time. And so I completely agree with you on all that. So to, you know, Blaze's question, give me the pan shot. And then afterward, and this goes for all races, not just Breeders' Cup. I mean, racing, I wish just did a better job in general of its whole replay suite. Like, it'd be great to have drone footage if that's what you want to watch, or the head-on, which most tracks do for replays, or who's been doing it, Keeneland, they have sort of that, like, stretch cam. That's fun, but I don't need it when they're racing live. Show it to me after.
Was that it? Did you have another question, Blaze, or is Blaze gone? Oh, Blaze is gone. Okay. Well, I don't know if we're on the same side of Blaze's on as he is on that, but I think a lot of quote-unquote old-school people didn't feel the need for a change during the races. I agree with you, Ed. All the bells and whistles are great, and I like them, and it's fun. And as somebody who just visited Keeneland for the first time in 20 years, it was pretty cool seeing that stretch camera zooming by us as they were preparing for a race. But I like watching the race. Anything that takes my eyes off of what I'm watching becomes more of a hindrance than a help at the end. And the truth is, you know, seeing the jockey cam during a race, well, that's great. I can see where this jockey is and about two other horses during the race. But for the most part, I can't tell where anyone is. And, you know, the what do you call them, the drones that are flying right above them, I think that's great. I just don't think it's great for during the race, because it makes things more difficult to gauge than what we're used to.
Yes. Nope, 100%.
All right, let's get out to the phones one last time before we hit a break. Frank in Connecticut, welcome to the Brisnet.com call-in show.
Hey, guys. I just want to say...
hey, Frank.
I just want to run two races by you and tell me what you think. I think in the medium price, not really long shot plays I'm going to look into on Saturday is going to be in the sprint. I don't hear a lot of people talking about Aloha West, the Catalina horse. And I also like, in the classic, believe it or not, Max Player. I just wanted to, I'll hang up and tell me what you guys think of those two.
All right. Thanks for your call, Frank. Ed, why don't you go first?
So Aloha West, I need to preface this by saying to me, Jackie's Warrior is the most likely winner on Saturday, even more so than Gamine. So I have a hard time looking past him in the sprint. So I'll be with, was it Paul from Naples? George. George from Naples. And Charles from Mississippi, we're on the J-Dub train for sure at a super short price. But Aloha West, I mean, odds depending, certainly I think is competitive in the mix and maybe an exotic player. But I'm not looking to play the top two or three choices in the sprint. So I would need a price on Aloha West. The classic, I really think that this between him being a great horse anyway, champion at two, multiple grade one winner at three, this race just seems to be setting up for essential quality in a way that I don't know that I've ever thought about a race setting up for a horse like that before. I mean, I don't know that Zenyatta has ever had this kind of dream scenario where you just knew, man, there's got to be so much pace. Now, Medina Spirit, Hot Rod Charlie, and Nixco, they're all fighters. I don't know that they all stop, so maybe they just end up being better than EQ on that day, but I'd have a hard time taking anyone but Essential Quality once you come from off the pace.
Well, if you're thinking that Essential Quality looks good because of the pace scenario, Max Player is another one who hypothetically could benefit from that pace scenario because he's a horse that does have the ability to pass other horses. He hasn't been coming from that far back. But he's really gotten good since moving to the Steve Asmussen barn this year, and his two wins in the Jockey Club Gold Cup and the Suburban. I know they're not against big fields and not against the best fields, but they weren't against terrible fields. I mean, he beat Mystic Guide. He beat Happy Saver a couple times. He beat Forza Di Oro. Yeah, none of them are Essential Quality or Nick's Go, but he's still doing it, and he's a horse.
He still did it. That's right.
He's still doing it, and he's a horse that, you know, if they duel each other into submission, the same kind of pace scenario that you're hopefully seeing for Essential Quality would probably benefit Max Player.
Agreed. And that's something to, you know, I mentioned it more with Jackie's Warrior than I did underneath Essential Quality. But, you know, these are full field races. I think it was, you know, George also mentioned how Breeders' Cups a day where an exacta that normally would pay $5 could pay $12. And, you know, Max Player is going to be, what, the sixth choice? So, you know, even if you're like me and say, I'm all in on Essential Quality, well, if it's a pace play, and all of a sudden you have the sixth choice with the second choice co-favorite, that's pretty good in a 12-horse field. I mean, most days your sixth choice in an 8-horse field is a no-hoper. But on Breeders' Cup Day, it's a horse with a real chance to make some noise, so... that's something I need to keep in mind, Bobby. I'm such a pick five player and I love him, but you know, really any day it's good to check your opinion with all wager types, but especially Breeders' Cup Day with these full fields, you can't sleep on the verticals.
And there's enough time between races where you have time to look at these different pools and possible payoffs before making your decision on those vertical plays. Okay, if you're on the line, stay on the line. We'll be right back. We've got to take a break. This is our final break. You're listening to the Brisnet.com call-in show on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
It's time to prepare for this year's Breeders' Cup, and no website has better study materials than Brisnet.com. Want to get everything you need to handicap the Breeders' Cup World Championships for one low price? Then check out Brisnet's Ultimate Breeders' Cup Handicapping Package at Brisnet.com/plans. For only $25, get all of your favorites for both days, including Ultimate PPs, Picks, and Kelly Riley's International Scouting Report. New this year and included with the package are historical past performances and charts from every Breeders' Cup race since 2011. That's $82 worth of handicapping products, all for just $25. Plus, get 20% off all other Breeders' Cup handicapping reports when you purchase the package. Visit Brisnet.com/plans now and get your Ultimate Breeders' Cup Handicapping Package.
Hi, this is Kelsey Grammer. When military service members head into battle, none are expected to face the enemy alone, but many return home and become isolated as they struggle with the visible and invisible wounds of war. It can be difficult knowing how to overcome that challenge and rekindle bonds similar to those formed in the military. Wounded Warrior Project supports these injured veterans through their recoveries by connecting them with fellow warriors and their communities. No one should fight this battle alone. Join us at WoundedWarriorProject.org.
Hi, this is Bobby Newman. Join me next week for the Breeders' Cup Countdown right here on HRRN. Jude Feld and I will broadcast live from Del Mar and we'll bring you up-to-the-minute reports on the Breeders' Cup World Championships, featuring interviews with trainers, jockeys, owners, and other racing insiders. The Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by Hillendale Farms, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, Tuesday through Thursday of Breeders' Cup Week on Sirius 216, XM 202, and streaming live at horseracingradio.net.
Hi, this is Larry Colmus, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back. Final segment of the Brisnet.com call-in show. Bobby Newman and Ed DeRosa here until 7 p.m. We'll head out to the phone lines once again. Tom in St. Louis, welcome to the show.
Bobby, how are you this evening? Action Ed, what's going on?
Howdy. Hey, Tom.
Good, good. First of all, one thing I always do every year, Tuesday that just passed, 12 days out, I always go on YouTube and watch the old Breeders' Cup telecast from NBC for the first telecast. Seeing guys like Enberg, Sharon Smith, you know, all the celebrities that were there. But more importantly, the fact that people had the forethought in the early 80s to try this concept, and everybody kind of worked together, you know, New York and Florida and Kentucky and California, they all worked together to develop this. You don't see that very often in sports. You see a lot of egos. So, first of all, I want to take my hats off to those guys. Unfortunately, way too many of them have passed, but they did set all this up. So in 2021, we can sit here for the next 10 days and just like a pre-Thanksgiving feast, gorge ourselves on past performances, opinions, and future torn-up tickets. I just want to say that. Second of all, as far as the Breeders' Cup, it's never a triple crown. It's never going to have that meaning. But I always remember on Monday night, from Thanksgiving till the first part of the year, when TVG would always show one different Breeders' Cup telecast in chronology order. It's a way to get guys like us through the winter that don't want to bet some of the winter tracks, especially on a Monday night. But more importantly, I know you guys were talking about Woodbine and not the handle and other things like that. But don't you think it'd be better if they went back to more of a rotating basis for, you know, the different cards? And I say that mostly because you look at it seems when they come out to the California climate, they're at a little bit of a disadvantage. Many of them already have their winter coat and things like that. And I would just, you know, maybe a little more even up playing field. Or my big suggestion would be rebuild Hialeah and have the Breeders' Cup there every year. But, guys, it's guys like you that keep this sport alive. I haven't been able to call in for weeks. I don't have a whole lot of opinions except, quite honestly, with Nick's going there and Medina Spirit. I do agree with Charles from Mississippi and everybody else. I think it's going to be essential quality or possibly max player. I do think he was a horse that really got hurt last year by the different delays in races, because when he was in the Rice barn and he'd won that race at a mile and an eighth, they didn't back him up and run him in that mile prep, and he went so long between races. But, guys, that's all I got. Just would like to hear your opinions on a few things, and enjoy the show.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate your call. Well, a lot to digest there, Ed. And let's. How about if we just take a quick look at what Tom was saying about maybe having a rotating circuit? I don't disagree with that. I think that they should have a circuit kind of similar to what they do in the Open Championship, or the British Open, whatever you want to call it, in golf out in the UK, where they don't ever race at the same place 2 years in a row, and maybe they come up with six or eight different locations so they plan ahead. And we know that 5 years from now, you know, 5 years from now, the Breeders' Cup's going to be at Gulfstream, and 6 years from now, the Breeders' Cup's going to be at Belmont Park, and 7 years from now, it's going to be at Churchill Downs or something like that. I don't disagree that there should be some sort of a rotating group of tracks, you know, that it goes through, instead of, you know, seem back to back here and there, and what, you know, 1 year off and then right back here, that kind of a thing.
Right. No, I agree. I mean, just as a fan, like, it's more fun to go to Arlington and Lone Star and Monmouth. Like, that, I mean, to me was a blast as a fan, and part of the experience. You know, the Breeders' Cup is a business though, and they have certain arrangements with certain tracks, and they make more money as a business when the event is at certain tracks. I mean, candidly, that's, I think, a big reason it's not at Churchill Downs more often. You know, Churchill is historically the highest handle, the highest attendance of any Breeders' Cup, but Churchill Downs, historically also known as a corporation that definitely likes to get what it can get out of its business arrangements. And my sense is that the Breeders' Cup doesn't make as much money, even with the inflated attendance and handle figures. So all that gets, you know, kind of wrapped into how do you pull this off place to place. But gosh, I wish they'd figure it out.
Well, you know, take that as an example, and not knowing the full details of, you know, the money situation there with Churchill Downs, isn't this something that the Breeders' Cup could kind of use as a bargaining chip, as saying, you know, hey, if you want it there at all, you know, we need to be guaranteed this kind of whatever, which is the exact
right.
Same as they get it. Because, you know, or is it one of those things where it's not worth it to Churchill? You know, I mean, if it's not a moneymaker for Churchill, I understand it. But if it's something that's a big benefit to them as well, it seems like they would be very willing to sit down at the table and say, well, we'd rather have it than not have it. And, you know, if
right.
we have to go with, you know, and like I said, it's easy for me to say these things when I don't know all of the intricacies.
And I don't either. That's what, you know, I don't know who's the one that thinks they're giving up money or whatever. My sense, Bobby, is actually that other tracks are willing to take a lot less, which is great for Breeders' Cup. You know, if they're getting X percent, you know, I get it. I mean, it's a business, and they deserve to make money, same as I like making money when I go to work. So no judgment, but I mean, I think it has sort of stymied the rotational aspect. I mean, I know Lone Star, they just dump gobs of money into, you know, kind of retrofitting the track and making it something that tens of thousands of people could attend. And it was great. I mean, the fact that if you are a fan of Lone Star Park and live in that area and you got to see Ghost Zapper, I mean, what a treat. Like, that's without the Breeders' Cup, you never would have gotten the chance to see an animal of that quality live. And Breeders' Cup made it happen. And it's just too bad that there aren't other tracks that have, you know, been able to reap that benefit.
Well, I would say the Breeders' Cup, like just about everything in this world, is continues to evolve. And just because
yes.
they don't have a firm rotation now doesn't mean that that won't happen in the next few years.
I'm hoping my bankroll evolves next week.
Well, we've got a little bit of time to figure it out, but it's certainly been fun. Thanks for joining us again this evening. For our producer, Lee Delapina, co-host Ed DeRosa, I'm Bobby Newman. Thanks for joining us and another great edition of the BrisNet.com call-in show. Don't forget HRRN action-packed once again tomorrow. The race day presented by Twin Spires, 3 to 6 Eastern Time, covering racing from Belmont, Keeneland, and Santa Anita. And then the weekend stakes preview presented by Naira Betts from 6 to 7 p.m. on the East Coast. Have a great night, everyone.